So pets are a member of the family. We love our pets more than some of our members of our family. I've known that in certain cases. But did you know you can actually do first aid on pets? Don't laugh. Stop right for a second, because somebody to talk about this in more detail is an actual PDSA nurse, by the way. Hello to Shauna. How are you?
Hello, not bad, thank you. That was a great introduction, thank you.
So, for the people who don't know who PDSA are, who are you?
So we are the UK's leading veterinary charity, and essentially what we do is we provide free and reduced cost veterinary care to the pets of people in need.
Fantastic. So, I didn't even know you can actually do first aid on your pets, because the first thing I would think is, hang on, pets are a bit smaller than us. Most of them are. Not if you've got like a bear or something in your back garden, like some of the big dogs. But how do you do it? You might hurt them. So talk us through this a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So first aid encompasses a lot of different things. It can be right down to putting a bandage onto a cut leg that's bleeding, right up to kind of the more serious life-saving measures like CPR. And a lot of us do have kind of some level of knowledge of how to do first aid and CPR on humans, but it is sort of a different skill set with pets, because like you say, they are very different. There's different things to consider. You know, it's definitely something that pet owners should and want to learn about, but it is, like you say, something that not many people are aware of.
You see, I'm first aid trained, so I know how to do CPR on a person, but I wouldn't even know where to start. So where would you start, say, on a, I don't know, let's say a cat, for example?
Okay, so the first thing you want to do, probably the same with human first aid, is you want to do an ABC check. So you want to check the airway, check if the pet is breathing, and check if their heart is beating, so their circulation. If they don't have a heartbeat and they aren't breathing, that's when you start CPR. And there's two aims of CPR. One is to get the heart beating again, and two is for the pet to start breathing on their own again. And how you resuscitate that is through a combination of chest compressions. So that's applying pressure on the chest at kind of a consistent pace to stimulate the heart, but also giving the pet breaths. Now, in humans, we do mouth to mouth. In pets, you do mouth to nose. So you give them breaths down their nose. And that's kind of the bare bones of it. Obviously, there's a lot more to it, which you can find in our free downloadable pet first aid guide.
See, that's quite interesting, though, because when you said, I was going to say, surely you don't do mouth to mouth, but you just said mouth to nose. That is really interesting, that. I mean, do you gently blow or give it a good blow, I suppose?
It's a really good question, and it depends on the size of the pet. So the breath that you would give to a larger dog, you know, sort of like a Great Dane, they're probably going to need your whole lung kind of output to be able to inflate their lungs. But if you gave that breath to a cat or smaller, a puppy or a kitten, that's going to overinflate the lungs and potentially cause damage. So you have to tailor your amount of breath depending on how big the pet is. And the easiest way to decide if you're doing enough or not enough is to just watch the chest as you're doing the breath. If you see a nice gentle rise and then a drop, then that's the right amount.
Here's a question for you. I've had a number of dogs in my time. I'm 42. This sounds like a really silly question, but please don't laugh. Where would you massage the chest and the heart area for CPR on a dog or a cat? Where would that be?
Yeah, so definitely not a silly question and something that a lot of people ask. So generally with pets, we have them lying on their side so we can access the heart. In humans, I believe they're on their back, but, you know, not one of my things that I'm super clued up on. I'm more about pets. So they lie on their side, and then depending on the size of the pet, again, is how you put your hands. So for smaller pets, you use either two fingers or your hand sort of on either side of the chest to kind of squeeze the chest. In slightly sort of medium to larger pets, you use the heel of your palm and you have your hands placed on top of each other. And the easiest way to find where the heart is sitting is, while they're lying on their side, move their top leg backwards, and where the elbow meets the point of the chest, that's where the heart sits. So that's where you want to be applying your pressure.
Oh, is there any diagrams online, on maybe a website or social media pages, where people can look at this in more detail?
Yeah, absolutely. We have all that information on our website, but also on our pet first aid guide. So it's all there in one place, how to do it, what to do with your hands. It's all in one place on that guide that's free to download.
And the final question is, I've seen some dogs have, I don't know what they've had some sort of fit. I can only describe it as an epileptic fit. I don't know if animals can have those. I'm not sure. Is there such a thing as a pet or an animal recovery position? Like you would put a person into a recovery position?
Fabulous question. And yes, pets can have seizures either through epilepsy or, you know, there's lots of different reasons why a pet might have a seizure. And there's kind of a recovery position in a way that we want to make sure that, you know, the pet's neck is extended. They're not all kind of scrunched up, so it will affect their breathing. We want to make sure that their airway is clear and they're kind of lying in on their side in a comfortable position. Putting them on their side is a good idea because then they're in the right position for if you do need to do CPR. With seizures, the advice is slightly different. We advise you not to move them or touch them unless they're in danger, because any kind of touch or sound or light or anything like that is going to act as a stimulant and that seizure might last longer. So there is, to an extent, you just need to make sure that neck is extended and that airway is clear.
Can you give those site addresses again for us, Shauna, so we know exactly, so people listening to this can know exactly where they need to go if they need to save the pet's life?
Of course. So our downloadable free pet first aid guide is available on our website, which is pdsa.org.uk. And if you type in first aid into the search bar, it will come up with all of our information and that guide for you to download.
Fabulous. Shauna, thank you very much for your time.